What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Screencast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by, it's Christmas in September, Joey Noel.
Hello. Oh, ironically, like 2 weeks ago, I was like, you're never going to see me on Screencast talking about What If and Marvel stuff. And here I am.
We always find a way. I love the hoodie too, Joey. This is fantastic.
Thank you.
Stuff.
It says emotionally exhausted by one Philly D.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Of course, we have the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
Hey, guys.
The producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
What if?
I understand you can make fun of it in a million different ways, Nick, but like that one just seems weird.
Andy and I were talking before we started. Did it seem like the what if this time was different? Like it was a different what if?
I am right with Nick, but my issue was that I was mentioning earlier is that I watched it on my iPad, so I'm wondering if there was some tonality loss in translation off the iPad speakers. Because Tim, Nick and I always had the issue of we're like, oh, Jeffrey Wright's going to say, what if this is going to sound epic and amazing? And it was, what if? And I was like, what? That's kind of why. Obviously, we're doing like an exaggerated version.
Yeah.
But this time we heard, what if? And I was like, yeah, Jeffrey Wright.
Got me in.
It was really good. I want to watch this now, you know? Yeah.
I watched it on my Mac laptop, which I always do. I kind of just sit on my couch back there and just
two Apple products, maybe a change.
It's got great speakers on it, and I swear to God, it was different read. And I was too lazy to go back and listen to the other ones because literally you can skip the intro.
It definitely could be.
Just so that we're clear, I was also part of that conversation. I don't know why I got excluded from Nick's like recap.
You'd already been introduced, Kevin. I'm sorry. You had already been introduced.
Yeah.
You said me and Andy were talking about it, but it was me, Andy, you, and maybe Joey.
Ghost Joey was also there. If you remember. Ghost Joey was here.
Anyone can cook.
Ghost Joey was terrifying, and I'm glad we'll never explain it.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, I don't even know what this is. We have the producer slash seducer Nick Scarpino.
Captain.
And we also have the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
What if?
Yeah, that's Nick just added some weird ass fucking like creepy guy trying to sell you drugs on the street to it, which like, hey, that is an entirely different what if. But this is the Kind of Funny Screencast where each and every week we get together to review the latest in TV and movies. You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to get it as a podcast, just search for Kind of Funny Screencast on your favorite podcast service and we will be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad free, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny and do just that. Every single week we review the latest what if episode, including today episode 6. We are breezing through these. This one is entitled What If Obadiah Stane Didn't Get to Say Tony. No, it's actually called What If Killmonger Rescued Tony Stark
with a box of scraps.
I want to start with you.
I didn't hear what you said because I was yelling it with a box of scraps.
I said Andy Cortez. I want to start with you.
What did I think about this episode, Tim Geddes? I thought it was okay like all the other ones. And I'm starting to just think, like, was this worth it for me? Like, am I getting out of this what I'm putting in? It's only 30 minutes. So maybe that's kind of on equal footing with each other. I thought it. An interesting premise, like a lot of the other episodes, it just isn't really having any impact for me. And the fact that this one kind of ended in the way that it did with that sort of Twilight ending, that Twilight Zone sort of, oh, Shuri and Pepper are going to go after the new Black Panther, MBJ, Michael B. Jordan. And it's just like, I just don't really care. I don't know. I find myself caring less and less, even though the stuff that they're showing is still interesting and they're coming up with cool concepts. I was always the type, I was talking about this the other day, how when I wanted to get into comic book reading as somebody who was such a noob and still am and like never ever got into it, by the way, but my worry was, hey, comic book readers, let me know what's the real canon, because I don't want to read shit that like doesn't really matter. And I feel like that's how I'm feeling about this show. Like, what are the runs I need to read that actually matter to the real universe? And I feel like I'm getting that with this show, where it's like there's a lot of stuff that doesn't feel like it has any consequences. So I don't really know if I actually do care.
Nick Scarpino.
I like this for all the reasons that Andy just said, which sounds weird, but like the opposite of right. I love that I don't have to necessarily be bogged down with the canon of all these 23 movies and all the shows and all the stuff. Now, I love that they can just take these random stories and make these twisted, fucked up outcomes out of them. I love this episode. I think this is one of my favorite episodes so far. Not the least of which because I think Killmonger is a character that I wish they could have explored more in the movies. I wish they could have brought him back. And I think he is a very, very, very powerful adversary to everyone in the MCU. And it's cool to see. I wish this was like an hour and a half long movie because I think I would have loved to have watched this played out over that. It does all these, the criticism that I have of this is the same as I have all of them. I just wish they were longer. I wish like this story was cool. I like how he did what he did. It just seems completely unrealistic to do in a 30-minute long time span. And granted, I know it was supposed to like kind of happen over, over the series of months potentially. But it's like it's kind of weird that he's like, I'm just there, and they're like, well, how are you there? He's like, well, I was working on a Black Ops mission. I was like, well, did no one check that out? But I digress. I think it's a cool concept. I love the drone suits. I love the fact that Tony thinks he's got one over on him, but Killmonger's like, you don't really know who you're fucking with here. And I just think it's kind of cool. I always like the, it reminds me sort of The Omen. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie, but the end of The Omen is so great because the devil basically just has a little shit-eating grin on his face when he's basically being adopted by the guy that's supposed to be president of the United States. You're like, he's winning. No one can stop this person. And I just like that feeling. I like anything that can stoke that for me, and this totally did it for me.
Evan Coelho, what do you think?
I feel like the more I watch the series, the more I'm kind of like I don't like it. It just the more I realize like it is the connectivity, and like I've said this before that of the MCU that I like so much. These one-offs feel like you can do anything. They don't really care about the suits. It kind of blows my mind that a vibranium suit, which it's like key thing is it absorbs vibrations, is taken out by a sound. The like, I don't remember what it was called in the first one. But that sound thing. And that seems to me like a huge hole in the like, but it like its main property, vibranium, is that it absorbs like forces. So it should.
In this universe. Doesn't Kevin this universe no.
Yeah, but like that's the hand wavy stuff that kind of makes this like everything seem like, or it makes it seem like nothing matters, and then it's hard for me to keep my attention. And there's just anytime they need to, they can do the hand wavy stuff of like, oh, you know, Killmonger killed a robot droid because he had the spear with him, and it's like, all right, I guess that's good enough. But it just I don't know. So many things start to feel disconnected and not like our characters that it kind of loses my attention. Like I've downgraded this show to like instead of watching at midnight on my TV, I now watch it in the mornings on my iPad. Oh, and
the kiss of death and the coil.
Wow, that.
I mean, like it, what I'm saying is like this isn't a show I'm excited about at all. The episode for last week is like a comic line that like I really really or a comic storyline that like I was very into when I was young, and I didn't like what they did. The same with this thing, like the story that we're getting now on paper should be really cool. I really like Killmonger. I really wanted to see more time spent, but like him being like adopted by his uncle, like that just didn't seem to sit well. Like the fact that he went in there by himself instead of the Black Panther went in there by himself instead of with his squad with
Dora Milaje.
Yeah, it's like that doesn't make sense. There's just too many like little weaknesses and holes that like just make me feel like this is a very much a non-consequential story. Also, I really feel like they should have gone with like one story. Like this ending on a cliffhanger when there's no promise of more seems dumb to me, because like if I like the story, which I wasn't a huge fan of, like ending like that really leaves you like, you know, wanting more, and there's just no signs that that's going to happen.
It's that sort of Black Mirror Twilight Zone thing of these are all one case episodes, and at the end you go, whoa, what does that mean for that universe? But Unfortunately, here I just don't care. And Nick, I love the whole kiss of death comment you just made about Kevin's downgrade, because it's like show went from Wednesday night primetime to Friday night, like at 8 p.m. like nobody cares anymore.
Out of all the Marvel shows so far, this is the only one that I haven't been excited. I usually forget it's happening and like will remember morning of, like, oh shit, I gotta watch this now.
Joey Noel, this is your first time on this show. We'll talk about your thoughts about the whole show overall later, but this episode in particular, what'd you think?
I was pretty disappointed with this one, but also not at the same time. I really liked I loved the Doctor Strange episode, and I really liked last week's Zombies episode. So I thought we had kind of come to a point where I was like, we turned a corner. We got through the stories I didn't really care about, and I am looking good for the rest of this show. And then I watched this one, and I guess the biggest thing is, like, when I've thought about wanting more Killmonger in MCU stuff, never have I ever thought, like, I want to see what happens if Tony Stark and Killmonger hang out. Like, that has never really been a pairing that I've ever wanted or asked for. So, like, this whole episode for me was, like, pretty meh. Especially like Tony back then, who was so like just playboy Tony and like not particularly exciting as a character. I'm also not a huge Iron Man fan in general. I think this show has a couple things going against it for me, of just like, I don't really like animated stuff, and I'm kind of with everybody about like, this all feels like pretty inconsequential. I am interested in how they wrap it up, because I assume the last episode, this is all like, I assume it's all going to get tied together. I don't know. I haven't been watching these, to be honest, so I have no idea what you guys have talked about in terms of these storylines coming back together or not. But I assume that's happening. And if not, then I think it's going to be a bigger miss.
We all kind of decided no, Joe. We all kind of like, after we saw, after I see Black Panther and it's like, oh, well, he was just Star-Lord a couple episodes ago. All right, well, I don't really know if this is going to get together. And if it does, is that even something I want? Is that even something that can make this more of a more enjoyable experience? I don't know.
Yeah, I will say that the ending scene with Shuri and Pepper makes me think that this is going to tie up more than any other episode before, but we'll see what happens. And then I also, with this episode, I think like the first 3 or 4 minutes we like pretty much don't need at all and are kind of wasted time of like, do we need the animated Avengers scene, and do we need the like animated Tony snap of like, this seems like you could have fleshed out more interesting parts of the story instead of just like rehashing for the billionth time, like one thing can change a whole thing. Like, we get all of that. I think it was cool to see those moments, but I think that storytelling time could have been used to like flesh out more of the actual story instead of just normal MCU stuff.
The further we get in this show, the more it feels like I'm watching a completely different show than all you guys, because I am on such a different page where I'm loving this. I definitely don't think that, like, a lot of the complaints that you guys have, I agree with, but like, they just don't bother me as much, and I don't see them as hand wavy as much as I see it as like, I like the runtime shorter. I like that it is kind of the greatest hits. We're filling the gaps. We've seen these movies, so we kind of can understand the motivations and all that stuff. Like, it makes sense to us. It's not like it's just not there. It's just in between things that we've already seen. And the reason I like the show so much is that I love the way that they're constantly surprised me from my expectations. Like, knowing that we're going to get this Killmonger episode, I thought it was going to be we're making Killmonger a good guy. Did not at all expect them to not only make him a bad guy, make him a super dope bad guy, super chess master, Zemo level stuff, where it's like, I want to see this Killmonger go up against some of our like the greater heroes later in the universe and stuff, and that won't ever happen because of how early this is. But my other favorite thing about the show has been kind of the melding of different timelines, the melding of different movies in one single thing, where it's like the idea of even the first episode now, like in retrospect being able to look back at it, it's like it is just the first Avenger, but it also has elements of Iron Man, like with Howard Stark making the Iron Man suit instead, and then with this, like, so clearly having Black Panther, which was so late in the MCU films, to meet up with Iron Man 1, and for them to, in my opinion, really kind of nail the Tony Stark attitude and vibe, like, voice aside, like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the character and the dialogue, like the lines. I thought they did a really good job in the way he acted, and seeing that, it's like, it's kind of cool and refreshing, and I like that we get to go back and get more of characters that we haven't, that we are impossible to get more of because they've moved on so quickly and did bigger and greater things throughout the movies. But I like that these shows allow us to kind of like get more time with Angela Bassett's character and allow her to like allow us to see her in her prime in this timeline where we would have never seen before unless we get flashbacks in Black Panther. But seeing Shuri when she's like younger, like it just puts the MCU into more context. And I think there's like a lot of subtext and a lot of just like smaller things in the background between the lines that strengthen the MCU as a whole without having to have these like giant ramifications of like, oh, they're all going to come together and this character is going to be actually in live action stuff, which I still very much think is happening. If not at the end of the season, I think it's going to build just into the overall narrative. But the fact that the Watcher is getting closer and closer and closer and closer every episode, it's like they're building to something. Like they like there's a clear thing where he's more detailed in this episode than he's ever been before. So it's like, I like it. I'm totally in for the ride. I think that they're doing a really good job having the episodes be varied, one-to-one. I love the amount of obscure side characters they're pulling in. It really feels like it's rewarding for people that have watched and rewatched and rewatched and rewatched the MCU movies over and over, where it's like even seeing Obadiah Stane is like kind of cool. And the fact that Thunderbolt Ross is in this and like the entire Wakanda cast and just like all these like characters that start adding up, including Don Cheadle in Iron Man 1 timeline. There's like these just satisfying moments that make the universe feel like more of a universe, even though some of these characters weren't even in Iron Man or Black Panther, like things like that. So I'm really enjoying it, and we only have a couple episodes left, and just from looking at the trailers, like those all seem to be really interesting things that at this point I expect to go in completely different directions than I've expected so far. So this episode is brought to you by HBO Max. If you're here, you probably love video games, but sometimes we have to face the cold, hard truth. We can't game all the time. Sometimes we gotta kick back and watch some movies and some TV too. So it's a good thing HBO Max is here to save the day with all of your favorite DC content. HBO Max has an expansive superhero collection to feed your fandom. Greg Miller is stoked, of course. They've got Wonder Woman, they got Justice League, Stargirl, Batwoman, HBO Shazam, Suicide Squad, the list goes on, of course. Plus the streaming platform lets you download your favorite titles and take them with you on the go. All the bingeable collections handpicked by humans, not robots. Personally, I've been enjoying a whole bunch of different things over on HBO. I love all the day and date releases. We know we got The Matrix now coming out in December. That's really exciting to look forward to. We got Malignant. I'm about to watch that this weekend. Check out some of the best superhero content and so much more only on HBO Max. Get streaming today by going to hbom.ax/kindoffunnydc. That's hbom.ax/kindoffunnydc. Next up, shout out to Rooster Teeth's Last Laugh Season 2. I was a huge fan of Season 1, mainly because my boy Alfredo was in it, but Season 2, can't wait for it. Here's the whole pitch for it. Do not laugh. It's part game show, part social experiment, 100% evil laugh challenge, spectacular. Last Laugh returns for a second season with 12 contestants gathered for 6 hours to see who literally laughs last. If they laugh, smile, or smirk, they're eliminated and prevented from dethroning Season 1 champion, the homie Blaine Gibson. The host of the show, Jeff Ramsey and Elise Willems. So that's super awesome. They have a new collection of surprises, but will they be enough to break the contestants? We'll have to find out. Last Laugh Season 2 debuts September 9th on Rooster Teeth, but you can catch up on all of Season 1 right now.
But what do you think the Watcher endgame is? Do you think it's going to be like ultimate predictions? Is it going to be one of these timelines will now affect the rest of it, or because I don't know. It just seems like kind of, well, I mean, I thought making Endgame was going to be an impossible movie. I thought like ending this in a satisfying way, ending the Infinity Saga was going to be a pretty tough thing to do. And they figured it out because they're absolutely geniuses over there. But like, it just seems like such a tall tale to try to have this, you know, have ramifications for the rest of the MCU.
I think that something to remember is that all the MCU shows right now, I think the majority of people think that they have ended, like their endings have been weak, right? So I think, and then part of that is because we like sit here and think of something we think is cool, but like the story just ends. I really believe that the last episode is just going to be another universe, maybe a cooler one, and that's going to be it. There's not going to be anything tied together between any of these. Quick question. Where was the Watcher in the last episode, the zombies one? What, like, because that's the one where I missed him. Was he like?
He was in it. He was in an overhead sort of big shot. Mm-hmm.
When they were driving to New Jersey on the train.
So in the same way,
and he was in the beginning as well.
But so in the same way that he was in the background of like the was it Thor
in this episode?
No, in the same way he was in the background of this one, because I do feel like we've been getting closer, but I kind of feel like now we're getting further away again.
We're getting more of him, but we're the fact
like
that
lines and like clothing colors.
The fact that he isn't just this ethereal presence in the stars. Now, we're seeing skin color. We're seeing clothing.
Out of Starbucks in this one. He was just
in Doctor Strange's episode. Didn't we see him like physically there almost? Like it seemed like he was. Doctor Strange looked at him, and it seemed like he was a character.
At one point, he heard him in the Doctor Strange one.
Yeah,
right,
where
he said, like he said something like that. So they interacted.
You talking shit or what? So he said.
But that's your point, Kevin. What are you trying to say?
I just feel like that was the most like that he was in that.
Well, no,
space.
In the Doctor Strange one, he was actually like, "You could stop this, right?" He goes,
"They talk." Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like in that one, he was. It seemed like for a moment he was physically like present, and I feel like we're moving away from that again.
Well, maybe they're hinting there that Doctor Strange has abilities that nobody else does, where Doctor Strange can talk with other sort of deities, or not deities, but just, you know, he has more abilities than what Tony Stark or Killmonger would have.
I agree with that. And I think that also then makes it clear that they're, I don't know if they're using him as getting closer or more detailed as the
100%
thing.
Are.
Yeah.
They definitely are.
I agree with Tim.
I
agree with Tim. The fact that he was like almost non-existent in some of the earlier episodes, and then they started putting him in there, like, because I remember the first couple of episodes we didn't see him, maybe only the first one, but then I made a comment of like, do you think they went back in post and were like, hey, we should put him up in these mountains or whatever, because it looks really dope as shit, and you know, he's kind of just, you know, this gigantic foreboding presence as you see the tiny little car or the ship or whatever it was that was in the foreground moving along or whatever. And I just feel like we have been getting more and more. And this time was the clearest we've seen him so far. He was absolutely just a person, like white eyes, of course, but like skin, big head, clothing, all that sort of shit. Yeah. We haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, real quick, when I was giving my thoughts, I forgot to say I did not like the end. I thought it was the most abrupt we've had yet. And I think that doesn't sit well with me. I like what they're setting up, but it's just like, yeah, I thought it came a little too quickly there. In terms of theories and stuff, I don't think this season's necessarily going to end with like him getting involved and it being this big thing. It might, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's just at the end of Tim having to step in, and that's kind of the end of the season. We know we're getting the season two, so it's like, but that to me is enough of like there is some progression happening with these worlds and him being involved in the whole thing. What's up, Nick?
Kind of like wetting their palate a little bit.
That's what I would think too, right? I don't think this is going to have like massive consequences, and I don't necessarily think I want it to, again, because I think the strength of the show is that they can just do kind of whatever. They have got this cool little playground to experiment in, but that's all I wanted to say.
Is there
going
any
well?
I was just gonna say I haven't been this is the least I've been into like looking at like Reddit and stuff like that. Is there any chance that this is like the Watcher explaining to current day Doctor Strange, who like has fucked up the multiverse, that like this is how things change and stuff like that?
I mean, there is. Maybe, I don't think so, but like that's totally like I could see them pulling some shit like that for sure.
Yeah, now that we've gotten the like No Way Home trailer and we know that Strange has like pulled some shit, then like maybe this is him trying to be like, hey, this is how one thing changes everything, but who the fuck knows? I'm very interested to see how they land this plane.
closing out this episode here.
Yeah.
Before Eddie.
It was going to be a stupid joke. I was going to say, people are asking, what if? What about when if?
No.
It's stupid. It's fucking stupid.
Can I
say, like
how
that.
Are they asking
I like that, Eddie.
How are they asking it?
Joey, we only have a couple minutes before we have to get to Games Daily, but overall, what have you been thinking of the show?
It's the least invested I've been in a Marvel show this year for sure, which is like a weird thing to say because I feel like a year ago we would have like I would have killed for just any little crumb of more MCU. But I animated stuff is not usually my jam, so I knew that that was going to be like a strike against the show for me personally. I think we have learned that voice actors have a harder job than maybe we have ever thought of. Just because you can act in live action stuff doesn't mean
forever. Like, why did he say Wakanda forever? Like, Paula was walking in on Kevin and he had to be quiet for the forever part.
It really sounded like Michael B. Jordan had to do a pickup line of recording, but he had family over and he couldn't really like express and emote in that way. Yeah, that was not a great ad read or a line read right there.
You know what it sounds like when you cobble together someone else's sentences to make another sentence? It's like, I really want to go to Wakanda. And then it was like, how do you feel about Forever 21? It's just Wakanda, forever.
I feel like they must have gave him the direction of like, sound more American. Like, don't, like, we want it to be distinctly different than T'Challa's Wakanda Forever. But yeah, it did not work. But yeah, Joey, continue.
Yeah. Oh, I think that this for me was like the weakest episode since the first one with Captain Carter, which I was not particularly impressed by. I really liked the Doctor Strange episode and I thought the zombies one was really fun. I think for me, this is the strongest when they do stuff that's like pretty as far away as possible, I guess, from like normal MCU stuff. I don't really love the episodes where they're totally retreading, even though I feel like that I just contradicted myself because I liked the Doctor Strange episode, which is... I don't know. We'll get into that later. But I'm really excited for the Party Thor episode that's coming up. I think hopefully that'll be a fun one. But every episode I've been excited for so far has not really come through. Going back to what Tim said earlier, I do like that they kept Killmonger a bad guy. One of my biggest critiques of the first episode is like everything they did with Bucky felt like very not his character, like him pulling Captain Carter away from the crash site with like Steve dead. I'm like, Bucky Barnes would not have done that. Bucky Barnes would have been so invested. He's not pulling away this girl that met Steve 3 weeks ago. So I like when they keep like the core of who the character is the same. And I feel the same way about the T'Challa with the Ravagers episode too, where it's like, no, he's still him. And I feel like that's where this episode is the strongest, where it's like, no, we're going to keep Killmonger bad. But hopefully the rest of them get better.
It's kind of justified, honestly.
No, and I still want I still want Black Panther, but from Killmonger's point of view, which is like a pitch that I had made like years ago on the Game Over Greggy show when we had talked about like theories about this with Lou. And I still think that that could be a very compelling story because it's like he does have really interesting motivations. And I think told from reverse could be interesting.
It's one of those that I really get bummed out about whenever a villain is used in one movie and just kind of done with. And it's like, God, I love this actor.
And you just watch Cross back. Yeah.
Cross is so bad, dude. So terrible.
He's in the new seasons of Billions, and I think of him every time he pops on screen.
This is the worst villain.
Let us know in the comments below what you think of this episode and how excited you are for the rest of the episodes. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.